hard time on a morning like this. But obviously, it is Mother's Day, and I thought, you know, should I bring something different or special? And as I had been studying even previous to this week's portion, I'm like, there's a definite good tie-in that I'm not even going to be needing to stretch real far to make. So we are gonna be in Nehemiah this morning. But as I said, you know, at the tail end of worship, it is Mother's Day, and it's beautiful, and it's sunny out, and yesterday was 50, and it felt like it was the middle of winter almost, and by the middle of this week, it's going to be 90, right, virtually. Welcome to South Jersey. You know, so we have all that going on, and you know, at the same time, there's stuff going on in our lives, right? There is stuff, and I know I could probably say that any one week, and it's true, but I know there's some things going on, so as I said before, if you're sensing or you just know that you need to press in extra this morning, please, 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 you know, come forward after service and let somebody pray with you. I will be relatively brief in sensitivity to the day and people who may or may not be visiting or traveling or maybe have a reservation somewhere. You know, so we want to, you know, be as respectful of that. Yet at the same time, you came to church this morning. Yeah, and you didn't come to a building. You didn't come to this place just because, maybe it's the right thing to do. I'm trusting, and even if it wasn't necessarily in your thoughts, I'm believing that you're here so that God could minister to you. Right? So God can minister. His Spirit, He sent His Spirit to us so that we wouldn't be alone. Hey, He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And as we're going through this life, the enemy is always trying to isolate us. Always trying to isolate us. I can look around the room, and I know specific situations even now. The enemy tries to get you out and alone, where then he can get in your head and get you in a place where he can just suck you down. But he's defeated. He's totally defeated. And you're going to see this morning, as we're looking at some of what Nehemiah dealt with and the ways that the Lord just gave him the insight and the wisdom that he needed at the time to deal with what was going on and the discernment. That's what we need. We need to be able to sense and know what's really going on. Now, what's really going on in the spiritual realm, if it has a spiritual layer to it, which a lot of this stuff does. I mean, a lot of it does. We see what's here. We're told in the scripture, this is temporal, right? What you see is temporal. The unseen is eternal. So we make all these decisions, and we think that this is where everything is, and it's not. It's not. So we're getting ready. We're continually getting ready. Right now, your eternal spirit is borrowing your earth suit. I always call it your earth suit because that's the only place you're going to use this one, right? It's your earth suit. I got a message late last night of somebody who retired from Wawa not all that long ago, 66 years old, you know, got up, made coffee in the morning. He was sitting on the couch. His wife says, you do not look good. And he kind of just laid down for a bit, and that was it. Yeah, that was it. She had already called 911. By the time they got there, he was gone. So it's just a very sobering reminder, and again, not trying to be a downer about that, but I want us to live with the right perspective, right? We talked last week about this right perspective of just being continually in awe of who God is. If we have this awareness of his awe, that's going to help us in our decision-making, help us in our thinking. So let me turn a little bit more in prayer before I really get going. So Father God, it's just so good to depend on you. Lord, it's scary sometimes as we make our way through this life, but you are with us. We know that to be true, and we declare it by faith, even for the times that we don't always sense it or we're scared. Lord, I am asking that you this morning would, by your Spirit, do what only you can do by your Spirit, and that is talk to our hearts and draw us close to you and give us a hug for those of us who need a hug, or a hand up for those who need a hand up, or new encouragement or new vitality to address and attack, and if need be, even call out the enemy for the lies that he's trying to feed us. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that the victory is yours. The victory is in your Son, and we are in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh. So, as I said, welcome back to our studies in Nehemiah. I'm hoping that so far this morning you're sensing, I really do think God wants to do some cool things this morning, so let's let him do that. And as I mentioned, you'll see a tie-in with motherhood. And as we've been looking at Nehemiah and following his call and his character, right, his commitment to do what's right, a neat saying that I came across this week that maybe some of you had heard before, because the person who was relaying it said it like, oh, this is a common saying. And I'm like, it's not common to me. But it was, if you'll care for your character, God will take care of your reputation. Right? If you care for your character, God will take care of your reputation. And we'll see how Nehemiah was a man of character. We talked last week, and I referenced it already. He lived with this awareness of how awesome God was, and that guided his thinking. It guided his decision-making. And as a result, he didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to worry about who was coming after him. And we're going to see this week the attack gets personal. Because we've seen before how some of these enemies of God were going against and trying to depress and trying to come against the people as a whole. Now they're going after Nehemiah personally. And he's got some great things that we can learn from following his example. And one of the biggest things that we saw last week and that we closed with, and where there's really the beginning of a tie-in, is that Nehemiah, because of his commitment to the work and to the people, he did not do anything that was self-serving or for his own benefit, even if he had the right to, right? He had the position of governor. There were things that he could have done that he didn't do, because he's like, you know what? It's a heavy load on the people. I'm here to serve them. As a matter of fact, he had an abundance that he was able to take care of others, and that's what he did. And I'm thinking, like, oh, if there's anybody who is selfless in this world, it's moms, right? From the moment that the child is in their arms, right, they are giving and giving and giving and giving. And for those of you who are moms, you know, as I said, even when I prayed, that has been put into your DNA by God, because it's a part of him. Right? When God made us in his image, male and female, there are parts and characteristics and I guess just part of who God is that he put into each of us that then we can uniquely demonstrate and give to the world and especially to our children, because they're the first ones that see that. And there's something about the love of a mother that obviously I can't relate to. I don't understand it. I only understand it from the receiving end. I don't understand it from the giving end. From the giving end, I can understand a father's love. In a way that that's different. But a mother's love is unique. And to be here on Mother's Day, and you know, I know some of you are here, and you know, maybe mom said, the only thing I want on Mother's Day is if you'll come to church with me. So if that's you, thank you. God bless you. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. But God's good in that way. But there's something powerful about a mother's love. And has anybody watched the show Long Lost Family? I see Barb. Laura, you watch it? Long Lost Family. It's on, I think it's on TLC. And this is on Laura and mine's TV salad list, okay? Because we have a TV salad list, for those of you who've heard me maybe before. Because a lot of you know that we're relatively busy, got a lot going on, so you're like, you got time to watch TV? Well, here's how we have time to watch TV, because every night we eat a big salad, okay? It's big. It's usually between, no exaggeration, 1.5 and 2 pounds. The bowl's like this, all right? It's got at least 8 ounces of greens or lettuce. Am I lying, Krista, or not? Right? I'm telling the truth, right? Yeah, okay. I need a witness. Our salad bowls are scratched. So we have these large salads. This is a part of how we try to eat. No meat, no cheese, so it's all veggies, it's got beans, and it's a big salad. And we learned a long time ago, not only does it take a little while to make it, it takes a long time to eat it, okay? And you're chewing, and you're chewing, and you're chewing, and you're chewing. So we eventually said, you know, maybe we'll watch TV while we're eating these gigantic salads. So we have our silent salad TV watching eating time, which is almost every day, right? Just about every day. So there's certain things that are on our TV salad list. And they're things that, if we had to try to describe it in general, stuff that we're comfortable if a little kid was sitting there or if Jesus was sitting there, because he's sitting there too. Because there's a lot of junk on TV. And there's times where we started to watch a show for a little while and we're like, I think we need to take this one off the list. So we're like, okay, we're not going to watch it anymore. And sometimes they're entertaining, they're funny, there's other things about it, but maybe they're just a little bit too disrespectful to the Lord, or maybe the element that you're like, oh, if that scene wasn't in it, it would have been a great show. You know what? I don't need it. You don't need it. We don't need it. So, but I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about my TV salad list. No, I'm here to talk about the show, right? This show, Long Lost Home. It's hard to get through and not get choked up if you've ever watched an episode. And in almost all the episodes, they're referencing a child, children, you know, that in one way or another has been separated from their parents, usually by adoption. Most of them are adoption scenarios. And so we have these different cases where it's either the child, or maybe a brother of the child, stepbrother, the mother. Somebody is looking for this child, and whether it be the age that they got to or different reasons have now brought them to this place where they want to search, and they've come up to some sort of dead end, and they've written into, I guess, to TLC, and they've been picked now to get, Lisa and Chris to help do some of the legwork for them. And so they go on this quest to help them find them. And you can watch any one of them. Any one of them, they're good. But this one particular one that reminded me especially of the power of a mom, I want to say it was, we watch it on demand, so I don't know when it really aired, but regardless. This one scene, this one episode where a woman had become pregnant as a teenager, and the guy that she was with, they just knew that they couldn't carry this baby, and the decision was made to put it up for adoption pretty early. So I want to say she was maybe 16 or 17. And so they put the baby up for adoption, and the couple kind of goes their own way. They end up both going to college and whatnot. But because they had this child, they always stayed in touch. Now, the child, they had given up their rights to follow with. But this is a mom who gave birth to a child, okay, and a dad. So as this couple has continued to correspond, after college, they get back together. And they start to realize, hey, you know what, let's get married. I'm in love with you. And they marry, and they end up having more children. But in their head, they always know they have another child out there somewhere. And they've always wondered, and what the mom did that was really especially powerful was she kept this child. You know, of course, the mom's prayer is that she's in a good home, you know, and that she's happy and that she's healthy and she's persevering. But what the mom did, she had every birthday, she wrote out a card for her and put it in a box. And every Christmas, she wrote out a Christmas card and put it in a box. And as her kids got older, the other kids, she told her, you have a sister out there someday, and maybe we'll get to meet her, maybe. And so she had the kids, as they were different ages, writing these birthday cards and Christmas cards and putting them in a box and putting them in a box. And as you would probably guess as I'm telling this story, the mom started to find out, you know, could she possibly find the daughter now that she was, you know, of age. And what ends up happening is, of course, they find her. You know, they find her. And then there's always the unknown elements. You know, does the daughter want to know her birth mother? And they have to always be willing to say that maybe not. You know, maybe for whatever reasons. A lot of times, the adoptee doesn't want to disrespect the people that they know as mom and dad and, you know, make a contact with a biological parent. So sometimes there's that hesitancy. There's other reasons that folks are hesitant. And in this particular case, when this young woman got a call from, I don't remember which of the people, Chris or Lisa, on the show, and they told her, you know, your birth mom, you know, is looking for you if you'd be willing to meet with her. It ended up that just a few months earlier, she had lost her mom. You know, so here, and she's relatively young. I want to say she was maybe in her early 20s at the oldest. And so she had just lost her mom not that long before. So she finds out that her birth mom's looking to meet with her. And then as she starts to learn, you know, and this girl grew up as a only child in that family. So here, you know, here's this mom who is always longing, maybe one day. And as she gets to reunite with her daughter, you know, she gets to reunite with her daughter and say, you know what, I'm still with your dad. And they didn't at all, you know, usurp the father who was still there, and the daughter's very respectful of him. But there was just something powerful, you know, and what that mother was able to give that gift of that box to her and say, I never stopped thinking of you. Never. And that's one of the things we hear on that show over and over. I never stop thinking of you. So to know that, you know, that's the way God has wired you as moms, and the tenacity that you have and the desire to keep praying and to see the best for and to be able to persevere. That's one of the other things we'll see today. This ability to persevere that Nehemiah had is powerful. So if you're ever over our house, bring a salad. We can sit down and watch Long Lost Family together. But a big salad, right? Don't bring no little salad. If you're picking up at Wawa, you're gonna need two or three. You can put them all in a bowl, you know, and it'll be okay. But okay, let me bring us back into where we're going, into Nehemiah today, and keep us keep us on track. So we are going to look at the first 14 verses of Nehemiah, and maybe a little bit different than my usual way of doing things. I'm going to read a portion, make some comment on it, read another portion, some comments, and then a third portion, and we'll do it in chunks like that. But if you have your Bibles, you can open them or turn them on or click or swipe or whatever you need to do to get to Nehemiah 6. And I'm going to start by just reading the first 3 verses of Nehemiah 6. So God's word says to us, "Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, 'Come and let us meet together at that place, Hekaphirim, in the place of Ono.' But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?'" Let me pause there. So, the first thing we see, right? Remember, Nehemiah was just praying and asking God to remember him. And now progress is being made to such a place where there's no breach left in the wall. So this wall has some degree of completeness, and the wholeness that the people are starting to feel has an energy to it. And the enemies, right, Sanballat and Tobiah, and now we hear of Geshem the Arab, heard about this, and they say, you know what, this is not a good thing. And they basically set out in a plot to try to get to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, even right out of the gate, is concerned. Like, you know, why do these guys want to see me? And where is it that they want to see me? It's about 20 miles outside of Jerusalem. And he's like, this can't be good. You know, these aren't my friends that are saying, hey, you know, why don't you come on over to our house for salads at TLC and watch Long Lost Family? No, this is, you know, these are people that already have been speaking out against the Jews. Remember, they were taunting them, saying, what do you guys think you're doing? Who do you think you are? Well, now they're saying, all right, they're making too much progress. We got to go after the head guy. So they call out to Hezekiah, and they're trying to get him to come meet them. And if anybody wants you to meet in a place called Ono, that's just a sign. just cross that off. Don't go. You know, it's funny, because in my study, I like to listen to other people and learn from other people who are you know, studying some of the same portions. Everybody makes an Ono joke, okay? I'm like, it only works in English. I don't know if it works in other countries, you know, but it's true, right? You're thinking about, you know, where they're being called. And verse 3 there is powerful. And it's powerful because, you know, Nehemiah is a man of conviction. And he says to them, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? All right, we are all called to a great work. We're all called to a great work. And the great work that I'm thinking of today is motherhood, for one. And the persistence of a mom, you know, is what we can see here, and what I was referring to already. You know, that a mom cannot stop being a mom. You know, the scripture actually makes reference, you know, can a mother forget the child nursing at her breast? You know, no. You know, now I'm not saying there aren't situations, you know, there aren't sad things out there, and there aren't ways that the enemy's tried to steal, kill, and destroy, whether he's got somebody, you know, hooked on something that's, you know, impacting the way they think. And there are sad scenarios. I don't mean to at all say every mother is perfect or you had a perfect mom, because none of us had perfect moms. Okay? None of us had perfect moms, not even Jesus. Okay, his mom, Mary, as blessed as she is, you know, she needed his blood as well. But Nehemiah has this focus about what's going on. He's like, I can tell already these guys don't have my best interest in mind, and for me to go there is not going to be a good thing. But right out of the gate, that discernment was there. That discernment was there, and that's one of the things that you're going to see repeated in this portion as we go. But the ability to figure out who's on your side and who's not on your side. Right? If there's something that the enemy is trying to do these days, he is trying to confuse good and evil in the minds of people. Right? He is mixing it up. He's basically taking away the rules as best he can. And we were talking about this a couple of Wednesdays ago about how, you know, those folks who were in higher education, in very higher education, you know, are actually getting to a place where they say, you know, there's no consistency on what's a true platform for us to even have a logical discussion on. So logic really doesn't hold as a way to converse. Huh? Because logic is fluid. You know, and if you were there on a Wednesday, one of the things that came up that addressed this is that, you know, Harvard actually had issued a statement in reference to how to have a tolerant and, you know, well-balanced, I'm not sure what to call it, campus. But it was a statement actually declaring that, in case you didn't know, gender is fluid and it could change day to day. This is Harvard. I'm sorry, did I say Harvard? Stanford. Harvard. One of those two. I think it was one of those two. I'll figure it out. Does anybody remember what I said that Wednesday? Because that's the right place. It was Harvard. I think it was Harvard. So gender is fluid, and it might change day to day. Just want you to know, we pay $50,000 to $100,000 to send our kids there. A year. A year. The enemy is trying to cast confusion. Right? That's his game. He calls, all right, I've said it many times, I'll say it as long as I'm in this pulpit. He's got one move. Did God really say? He calls into question what God has said and then tries to create chaos as a result. Okay? So he's still doing that, absolutely. So Nehemiah had this ability to start to discern and know what's going on and what's really true. So let me read a few more verses for us. Let's read verses 4-9. And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That's why you're building the wall. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah. And now the king will hear of these reports. So now come, let us take counsel together. Then I sent to him, saying, no such things as you have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. No such things as you say have been done, excuse me. For you've been inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. And then Nehemiah throws up a prayer. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Now, when I went to the house, I'm sorry, I'll stop there. Oh, God, strengthen my hands. So they couldn't get him to come out to Ono. So now they start sending him letters, right? And they start sending messages to him. And they keep saying, you know what, we need to see you, we need to see you, we want to see you, we want to see you. Then they send an open letter, because at that time, letters would have been sent in a scroll form, sealed. And that meant that this letter has not been read by anybody else. It hasn't been doctored. Nobody else knows about this. It's just going to you. So to have an open letter is kind of like saying, you know what, I posted it on your wall, you know, what's really going on here, so that everybody else can read it. And that was supposed to somehow be another pressure on Nehemiah. And obviously he's saying, you know what, we heard this. And Geshem even says it. He's one of the Arab leaders. He's saying it. And if he says it, it must be true. So they're lying. They're lying, and they're trying to get Nehemiah to this state of fear, thinking that the king maybe is going to take action against him. But remember, the king's the one who blessed him to go. The king knows Nehemiah, right? Artaxerxes knows him, and he said to him, you know, you go, do this work. So Nehemiah knows that, yet he's hearing all these other reports. And it's not like in our day where you can, you know, give somebody a call or shoot them an email and say, hey, you know, that's a bunch of garbage, right? You know, he has to deal with it, and what they're trying to do is to get him to give in. They're trying to get him to stop, trying to get the people to stop, and he's spreading this falseness around, and he's trying to intimidate him. And, you know, Nehemiah says there, and we'll look at, you know, all those verses in a second, they wanted to frighten us. They wanted to frighten us, and they wanted to frighten us with lies. Isn't that the enemy? He can't frighten us with the truth. The truth makes him run. So he tries to frighten us with lies. He's, did God really say? How can you know? Is the Bible really? Come on. It's 2017. Okay? The principles of God continue to prove themselves true generation after generation after generation. You know, follow what he said. You're building your life on a rock. If you're not, it's on sand. It's on sand. So, you know, Nehemiah was not intimidated to by this. And instead, he's like, you know what, Lord? They're trying to get us to be weak. I'm calling out to you, strengthen our hands. Strengthen my hands. And I know for some of you, that's what you have to call out and ask God to do. You're going through something, and you're feeling discouraged because the enemy is telling you different things about it. And we don't always know it's the enemy. Right? Sometimes you're like, well, that thought came in my mind. Where'd that thought come from? I don't know. You know what? If it's not bringing life to you, okay, if it's pushing you away from God, if it's isolating you, it's the enemy. Okay? That's his work. He's trying to isolate. So here, you know, take heart and ask the Lord to strengthen your hands, that you can have the insight, the wisdom, the ability to discern, you know, what's going on and know when it's a lie. Okay? Nehemiah knew this was a lie, but of all the people who read it, did they know it was lies? Because it wasn't that long before this, and even, you know, in this time, you know, Malachi is prophesying. Okay? They're talking about the coming Messiah. You know, a couple decades earlier, maybe almost a century earlier, Zerubbabel was talking about this coming Messiah. So the Jews know that there's a coming king. And so Sanballat and these guys may be playing on that, saying, oh, we heard that you're going to tell everybody that you're the king. That's what this is all about. And he's like, nope, that's a lie, and I know it's a lie. And so he perseveres. So let's read this last portion, and I'll tie things together for us. Now I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Methabel, who was confined to his home. He said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night. But I said, should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. This is cool. So now there's another guy that comes along. And this guy obviously has some reputation or is known as being a prophet. Maybe he was even a priest of some sort. He's, for whatever reason, shut into his house. There's different speculations that the theologians have, whether he may have had an injury of some sort or may have had some sort of handicap that keep him in. But he calls out to Nehemiah and says, you know what? We need to get together. And why don't we get together over at the temple? Hey, why don't we get over to the temple? Because you need the protection. You know, you need the protection, and this is going to help you. And you know, if we talk over there, that'd be a good thing. And Nehemiah, because God had given him the insight to realize that this man, and one of the things about, I'll say, the prophetic and prophecies is there's times where somebody who's been used of God, okay, can get it wrong and be off. And it's a dangerous place to think that any one person, oh, they've got the inside track to God. Okay? Even if God used them and ministered to you. Okay? Because the truth of God's word is never going to change. So sometimes you're grabbing onto what the Lord said. He may have used that person, but it doesn't mean that everything that comes out of their mouth is of the Lord. And it's just something for us to be aware of, especially in our maybe more charismatic circles where, oh, somebody got a word from the Lord, and here's what, you know, be discerning. You know, have a discerning spirit like Nehemiah, that when somebody who was of the Lord was telling him, hey, let's get over here, you know, he knew that wasn't of God either. And here he actually says, you want to do that because you're going to make me look like a fool, because that's the way the enemy will do it. Right? He'll say, oh, it's okay. You know, just do this. In this case, if he could get Nehemiah to go to the temple where he was not permitted to be, okay, then they could say, you know, really, Jews, this is the guy that you want to lead you? Look what he's doing. He's, you know, desecrating your temple by going in there and violating the law of the Lord's law. Time for a new tongue? Maybe you just need to sleep more before church. you know, but he was able to discern that this guy was out for no good, and the enemy does that. Okay, I can tell you that in the several short years that, you know, we've been helping to lead here and try to seek God with you, you know, we've had folks come against us. And we had one person in particular, very vehemently was, "This is from the Lord." And very nasty, you know. As we tried to explain to this person, you know, the gift of prophecy for exhorting, edifying, comforting. And we understand warning. This person believes that they have an Old Testament prophet spirit upon them. And any of you who have been here for any length of time would know the person, so I won't say who it is. They're not fellowshipping here anymore. Against us time after time in writing, over and over. Verbally a little bit, but in writing, saying hurtful things. Times include Pastor Don on email, say things about Pastor Charles that I'm just like, this has got to stop. So we took the action that we felt was right and needed to, and they fellowshiped somewhere else, and we've stayed in contact with their pastors to help just, I'll say, mitigate that and say, this is not welcome here, and, you know, if we get anything that you're not on a CC on, we're going to, you know, send it to you so, you know, you can help love this person. But, you know, unfortunately, there's some issues there as well. But I say all that to say, you know, thus saith the Lord doesn't mean thus saith the Lord. Okay? I can hold up this book and say thus saith the Lord. Okay? That's about it. That's about it. Other than that, praise God for his gifts. You know, thank him for his gifts. Thank him for the way he uses us. Okay? But Nehemiah had the wisdom to know that that guy was not speaking from God, okay? Because he knew what work he was called to, and he wasn't going to be pulled away. Okay? So that's what I want you to be encouraged with, is the work that God's called you to, don't let anything pull you away. And if you're not sure what that work is, keep walking forward. It's one step at a time, right? Commit your ways to the Lord. He'll make your path straight, right? So you can walk day by day in that. So be encouraged in this. So let me tie things up with a couple of takeaways. For one, we saw through this whole portion this intent to harm Nehemiah. Verse 2, he was saying, "You intended to do me harm." In verse 9, they wanted to frighten us. Verse 13, that I should be afraid. Verse 14, they wanted to make me afraid. Okay? If you are challenged with fear, that we know is not of the enemy. Right? Perfect love casts out fear. Not saying that any of us at different periods of time or points in time might not, you know, feel things that are fearful. Okay? But I want you to take those things to the Lord and allow him to put light on them. Allow you to discern what things in there are lies, what things are true, what things aren't true. Well, you know, where might you need to tweak something, or where do you just need to, in Jesus' name, claim the victory that he got for you already, okay, and push through and press through. So for those of you who, you know, who agreed to come to church with your mom this morning, you didn't take you too long to realize it wasn't because of the dynamic preaching or the pastor's good looks, okay, or the free coffee and fruit that we offer afterwards. Come on the Fellowship Hall side, you can do that. It might have been for the $5 Wawa gift card if you're visiting, all right? Fill out it, we'll give you a Wawa gift card. But no, we know that we long to see everybody that we know and our loved ones in a relationship with God. In a relationship with God, because as a parent, as a mom, you know that if your children are connecting to the Lord, okay, it doesn't matter what they go through. It doesn't matter what the Lord lets them go through. Even when it hurts you, you're like, okay, Lord, they're your child too. And I have to remind myself that he loves our children more than we ever could. So the feelings that we have, sometimes when it's a painful feeling or even a joyful feeling, just magnify it, and that's what God's doing. That's how he feels. You know, he feels those things. We're just reflections of that. So, you know, we know that, you know, the desire of every parent is to see their children solid in the Lord. And it's not just for eternity, though, yeah, for eternity. You know what I'm saying? You know, we need our sins forgiven. But to know that as you walk through this life, the Lord can use and will use everything, and he can take us through these things. And I can almost imagine, you know, a mom says things like, you know, it would just make my joy complete to see my kids solid in the Lord. And I think that'd be every parent's cry. And that's really Jesus' words, right? It was in John 15, you know, where he was saying, you know, that the Father, you know, being obedient to the Father is his joy. And he says, you know, and I want them to know my joy because I want them to obey you. I want them to have a life that's honoring you, to have this awareness of your awesomeness, right? This fear of the Lord that we looked at last week. So As we close, I'm going to ask you to stand so I can proclaim a blessing over you. And again, as I felt led earlier, if you need prayer, if there's something fearful that's attacking you, if there's some sort of isolation that's coming against you, come up and please let somebody pray for you. Remember that trusting God doesn't mean that you don't, that you're not diligent, that even skeptical when you need to be, but not cynical, but you're trusting God, so you're calling out to him. Because we saw here, Nehemiah was able to accurately discern what was a distraction, what was a fear tactic, what was just a trap of the enemy. But he was going to stay focused on this great work. And God's given us his Holy Spirit to do the same thing for us. Amen? Amen. So don't come down from the great work. Praise God. So Father God, as we prepare to go this morning, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is bread to us. It is life. And Lord, I thank you that we can use it to really be our guidepost for all of our life. It is the light of our path. That's what your word is. That's what you said it is. So Lord, we want to shine that light continually in front of us, that we would walk in ways that honor you, and that we would love those around us. You said that's how people will know that we are your disciples. It's a love that we have one for another. And if anybody should be loving the confused and the hurting, it's us. So God, may we continue to do that in a way that brings you glory and brings you honor. So Father, as I pray a blessing this morning over this group, where we pray a special blessing over the moms, the grandmoms, the great-grandmoms, thank you for the way that they have reflected your love, even though, as we all know, it's not always perfect, but they just continue. Because they continue in the great work that you called them to, regardless of the age of their kids, even if it's a point where they can only pray. Lord, but their trust is in you, and our trust is in you. So, Lord, bless them this morning. And I pray a blessing over the rest of us all in the words that Moses used when he said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're blessed and dismissed. Come forward if you need prayer, please.